Getting on the same page financially is one of the best ways to build a stronger marriage. I'm John Fuller in the studio with Greg and Aaron Smalley, who oversee our marriage team. And Aaron, before we can get on the same page, we kind of need to be honest about who we are and areas where we can grow as individuals. As you see men and women in your counseling practice, are there differences in how they struggle with money, just generally speaking?
Mm-hmm. And I would say I always preface stereotypical stuff with the 80-20 rule. So 80% of the time, the stereotypical stuff is true. 20% of the time, it's not. What we see typically for men is oftentimes men are willing to take greater risks financially. Not, you know, sometimes it's the wife, but typically husbands are more willing to do that. And they might also spend without discussing it with their spouse. Not always, but sometimes. And so it's just being aware of, is that a habit or is that something that a husband has settled into? Versus for women, stereotypically, often they'll spend on consumer goods like clothing or household items. Like me, they will. Greg loves that he's hearing this. Sometimes
well, I got a birthday present from our Amazon delivery guy. So yeah. What does that tell you?
They will. Let me finish. They will do frequent but smaller purchases. Yeah. And I know we talked on a previous episode about my bargain shopping, and so the propensity to spend smaller amounts. But when there's how many packages sitting on the porch from multiple vendors? But of course, they're all great deals. Uh-huh. You know, Greg begins to wonder, how often is this happening?
It was fun, though. Last night, Erin did get a box of something, and she was modeling the items. And they were bargain, but they looked really good.
Some were good. Some were not. Yeah. Those are the ones that are going back.
Well, I've got to say, the stereotype kind of plays out for us. We have our own areas where we spend. But when it comes time to do the big things, like we had to replace a vehicle, Dina just couldn't quite get there. It was so much money because the cars are expensive.
And you even were ready to cars. Stroke that check.
I was ready. I was ready months ago.
You were smashing that piggy bank.
So we all have propensities. And, you know, the point here is let's talk about it. Let's be aware of it. And let's go ahead and hear now a conversation that Focus President Jim Daly and I had with Bob and Linda Lottick. Now, previously, they described some of the struggles they had with money early in their relationship. Let's go ahead and listen.
We actually had this meeting when we got engaged where she brought out
a meeting.
A meeting.
Our we call financial it a meeting? Meeting. I call that a date.
So, yeah. So, we're
it didn't really feel like a date.
Was it?
Sure.
How long was it after we got engaged?
It was pretty soon.
And I'm like, all right, we need to have the talk. Let's talk about our money because we're bringing this together. And she comes out with a shoebox and slides a shoebox across the table. And I open it up, and I'm like, I don't know what's in here. So maybe there's a whole bunch of money. And like, maybe we're independently wealthy already, you know?
So the shoebox is coming your direction.
So the
direction.
Shoebox comes my way. I love take the lid off. And in it are a ton of credit card statements, some of them not even opened. And I'm like, all right, we got some work to do. Like, you know.
And that was a good response.
Oh, yeah. Like, I very much view this as we're coming together. And it was almost a blind leading the blind. I was like one step ahead of her. Like, it was... You know, we're both messes that, coming
together.
How old
are you? 20s, right?
Yeah, early 20s.
Early 20s at this point, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so, that's fair. But so, yeah. I just think that's interesting that, right, you could have said, oh, you know what? I've got to go back home. My mom called. Now that you've shown me this special box
this
of yours
special box.
That is all about the invoices that you've built up over the years. Mm-hmm. How did you then, I mean, it's a pretty good trail to follow here. Yeah. So how did you get together on it and say, okay, now that your debt is my debt, this is what we're going to do?
Well, yeah, I think what you just said, like that was the point that I'm so thankful that we had the wisdom from others that this is the way to treat it.
I'm glad. I thought you were going to say, well, we signed a prenup.
Well, fun fact, he actually had more debt than I did.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So at least I had that going for me.
Yeah, I love that.
That was about it, though.
So we were nearly on equal playing field, different types of debt, student loans and whatever, but... Point is, we just realized, all right, we got a mountain in front of us. We need to tackle this in unity. Like, let's be together on this, invite the Lord in on it. And that's, we just started moving forward from that point.
So in the book, you talk about a formula and, you know, getting that formula going. Sometimes, you know, we kind of discourage people thinking of parenting in a formula context. It obviously works with money. You need a plan.
Yeah.
So your formula kind of... Seems pretty obvious. Save as much as you can. What's the other parts of the formula?
Yeah. Make all you can, save all you can, give all you can, and then enjoy it all. Mm-hmm. And this, we stole or borrowed a lot of it from John Wesley. John Wesley had a whole bunch of quotes kind of tying this concept of earning all you can, saving all you can, and giving all you can. And I love it because John understood that he had his ability to preach and his ability to write to earn money while impacting the kingdom. And then he could take that money that he earned to then give and impact the kingdom again. And I just love the way he saw that. And the saving side, just because people always get this confused, it wasn't necessarily just about saving in a bank account as much as you can. He meant reducing your expenses, your unnecessary expenses, like just not being insane with how you're spending money.
You know what's bizarre? This just hit me. You're sitting there with your shoebox coming across the table. You pop this open and you got your debt. And did you ever think you'd be sitting here at that point in your life that you were authors of a book about how to manage money? No. That had to be so far away.
I mean, like with Bob, you could see it a little bit. Like it wouldn't have been a surprise. Like my family is just laughing at this idea.
Oh, totally. Because probably I am listening just now, so laughing. Like she is on a big show talking about money. Like,
That's proof in the pudding that anybody can get there.
Yes.
With God's help.
All right, Greg, so following up on what the guest shared, what are some financial rules, if you will, that you and Aaron have kind of figured out for your relationship to be strong?
And I think some of the best advice we ever got when we were getting married was whatever you're making, first tithe, like just get into that habit, build that habit, and that's always something that we've done. And so certainly, first and foremost, we want to tithe to our church.
Be charitable, be generous.
Yeah, and we have other ministries that we give to. Another big one is full disclosure, that because that can be such a red flag, as we talked about on our previous episode, of just, you know, we don't want to do this stuff in secrecy. So Erin and I have joint accounts. She has her own checking. I have one. But, I mean, it's all through the same bank, and we both have access to all that. We can see that. There's transparency. Honestly, early in our marriage, I mean, I struggled with some secrecy. Mm-hmm. And actually, one thing around some money, like when I'd make a little extra money, because I didn't want to get into a big hassle and have a big argument with Aaron. You know, we were talking, you know, $20 here, $20 there, but it set a horrible precedent in my marriage around just a willingness to withhold or to be secretive.
So the problem was you were being secretive.
Right.
It was small amounts,
right.
But
so I justified
just the fact
that
you
way.
Had a secret.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a terrible decision, and it took us a while to work through that, to rebuild some trust.
Yeah.
So that's a big one for us, is full disclosure. I'm not great at finances. Aaron is not great. Between the two of us, I probably do a little bit better. So I do the budgeting and the bills and that kind of stuff. But I mean, it's something that, you know, when I need Aaron to look at something, or, you know, we'll talk through budgets for the year. So, I mean, we do those things, saving for the future. Mm-hmm. You know, that's something we talk about, and we've got a great plan, and we both contribute to all the what we should be contributing, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think when it comes to a major purchase, that's when we're going to sit down and talk about it now, you know. But when we're younger, like we were talking earlier, I mean, we didn't have much money, so everything felt like a major purchase.
$50
was a huge thing.
And it still is big. I mean, we don't willy-nilly just spend $50, but we were making like $1,000 a month. So half of it was going to rent. So now you got $500 to live on, and there's car insurance, and we had a pet, and there's health and medical, and we were just running threadbare.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the biggest thing that we try to do, is all this is above board, so we're not gonna be secretive. Full disclosure, we're gonna talk about finances when we need to, if we want to spend some money. Otherwise, you know, Erin works; she's got her money. I work; I've got my allowance, and so we don't worry about that stuff. But we just always want to be open to, you know, if someone's feeling weird about something, let's not make that a big deal. Let's just talk it through and figure it out in a way that feels good to both of us.
Yeah, and I mentioned replacing a vehicle, and in some ways, I mean, we were being lighthearted about it, but I was ready months ago. It took Dina a while to figure it out.
Yeah, you did. I remember talking about this multiple times with you. You did all the research. You were ready to go.
Yes, we have talked about that a lot.
I would have replaced it and gotten something, but she found and wanted this vehicle that we ended up buying. Uh-huh. And it was within her price point comfort. And yeah. It's good to honor that sense.
And
of,
she looks good in the Ferraris, I got to tell you. So she haunted me.
I thought it was a Tesla.
It's a pickup truck. She's a Texan. Oh, it's a pickup truck. She said, it's my dream vehicle. And my 20-year-old looked at her like, seriously? And she's like, yeah. Not a Corvette? Yeah, it's a pickup truck, dude. So what? This is all good communication that we're talking about here. This is why we want to have this podcast for you, so you can hear the everyday normalization of some things that are just difficult for some spouses. Communication is such a huge part of the financial difficulties that couples face, and it may be that you're struggling because you've got past decisions that are kind of an anchor on your present lifestyle. We have a great article for you. You and your spouse can read it. It's called Communicating About Debt. This is a short post. We've got it in the show notes. We're going to link over to it. And then to do a little more in-depth dive on this, get a copy of the book from Bob and Linda Lottick. It's called Simple Money, Rich Life, Achieve True Financial Freedom, and Design a Life of Eternal Impact. It's really inspirational to be around Bob and Linda, to hear their stories. You're going to benefit from this book. We're making it available to you for a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Focus on the Family. Join the support team with a little or a lot on a monthly basis or a one-time gift. It's easy to make a difference through Focus. Donate today. We'll send that book to you. The show notes have all the details. Next time, we'll hear from Bill and Pam Farrell, talking about the ways that men and wives communicate differently. For now, on behalf of Greg and Aaron Smalley and our entire team, I'm John Fuller, and thanks for listening to the Focus on the Family Marriage Podcast.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord, and you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.